Are we on? Are we on? We're live.
Should we just dive right into this?
Let's do it.
What's up, Pete?
I'm living it, Ross.
Let's
good to be
go.
Back.
Yeah.
In here cooking in the lab again.
Oh, nothing like getting on the old pod. It's been a minute, but man, I've been chomping at the bit to get on the mic and talk some local running.
Absolutely. Lot going on the last couple weeks. Before we get into that, I want to say thank you again to Danny DeMeo for coming on. Gotten a lot of really positive feedback about him, about what the Striders are doing. I know the folks we're talking to today have some connections to the Striders as well, so we'll get into a little bit of that in a little while. But yeah, glad to be back in here. What's been happening?
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, from the perspective of somebody who did not know much about the Striders, it was so cool to learn, and it was so cool to observe the impact it's had for you and your kids to see that kind of element of this. And obviously so much of the youth around this area are involved and the families are involved, and what Danny's doing is amazing. Me, guess what I've been doing?
Well, it's a day that ends in Y, so you must have been running.
I've been running. Let's go. Down in Santa Cruz this past weekend, did a 30K Santa Cruz trail race. What a bruiser, man. 3,000 plus feet of elevation gain. A steep climb at the end knocked me down, but we persevered. I had a good finish. 36th overall out of like 90 runners.
Great.
26th male, 6th in my age group. I'd give myself like a low B. I wish I was able to power through some of the climbs, but super fun, really well organized event. Great talent from the local scene out there doing their thing. Some guys who were crushing it. We had some good Chico followers down there doing their thing also, supporting everybody. Shane ran, Tamara ran. And Josh Pitts also did the 30K, and he did awesome. So a good event and a lot of support down there. Really fun. Looking forward to doing it again. Hopefully I can get sub three. I finish in about 3 hours, 10 minutes. That wasn't the only race going on, though. There's been a lot happening. What have you been participating in?
Oh, gosh. Must have been about 2.5 weeks ago now. My wife and I went up to Lake Tahoe, did the Marlette Lake 10-miler. It's a group of races up there. There's a 5K and a 50K as well. So we did the 10-miler, and similar to what you said about Santa Cruz, it was a bruiser, an absolute bruiser, right? So, you know, leading up to the race, I'm looking at the map. I ran this race last year, and it's called a 10-miler. Last year, the actual route was like 9.5 miles. This year, they had to change the route due to some work in the park that it's in. And I was looking at the map. The map says 10.7 miles or 10.8 miles. I'm like, well, that's not really a 10-mile race, but close enough. So it was up a mountain and back down a mountain. It was brutal, man. I was hurting. It was a very humbling experience, like most trail races are.
That's right.
The most frustrating part, though, was at the end. I got to 10.7 miles, and I'm thinking, oh, the finish line's got to be close, and I don't see a finish line anywhere.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I keep jogging, right, get to 10.8 miles, no finish line in sight, and finally keep going. 11 miles in, there's the finish line. It finished on a hill, like going uphill, which race directors, can we talk about that? Like, we've been working hard for, you know, whatever distance it is. Can we get a downhill or a flat, especially when you're at elevation?
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was a great race. It's a good time. I ran, I think it was an hour and 50-ish minutes, somewhere around there. Third in my age group, 11th overall. So certainly very happy with that.
Bro.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a bruiser. I might go back next year. I've done it twice now. You know, like, there's so many races out there.
Yeah.
But you've done one a couple times. Maybe see what else is going on. But if anybody out there is looking for a fun trail race, look up the Marlette Lake race.
Good views.
Great views. Sweet. Incredible. I mean, it's Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
Right? There's
awesome.
Nothing, yeah, it doesn't suck. had our good friend, Real Deal Neil, up
Let's
there
go,
as well.
Neil.
Real Deal Neil ran the 50K and
savage.
Yeah, blew it out of the water. I think he was top 10 overall.
Amazing.
I think he won his age group or second in his age group. Like, that
such
guy,
a badass.
Yeah, that guy doesn't quit.
Yeah.
He's got a motor. So good work, Neil. Good work, everybody who was up there. Good work to you, Ross.
Yeah,
knocking out that 30K. Like, it's no big deal. Just just a casual little Saturday run.
It's fun, dude. I want to do it again. It's so fresh coastal air, giant redwoods, amazing scenery. Like, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it does not. It does not.
We had some other stuff go down. The Double Dipsy was this past weekend. Ursula and Thomas, who we got to give a huge shout out to.
Definitely.
Been some fans of the local podcast here in the running community and have been sharing some love on it. So big shout out to them. They did the Double Dipsy. Frank did the Double Dipsy.
Frank the Tank. I did see that. I haven't seen Frank in a while again.
What's up, Frank?
Yeah, I know. Hey, Frank, we miss you, man. That's kind of like Frank's thing, though. Like, I'll see him a bunch for a while, and then I won't see him, and I'll, you know, he'll keep popping up on Strava doing his thing, and sure enough, out at the Double Dipsy. Mm-hmm. That's another guy that just has a motor.
Yeah.
Just goes and goes and goes. Yeah. So good work, all the Chico folks that were at the Double Dipsy.
Yeah, Ursula and Thomas are also like that. They were kind of hesitant to do it, but then at the last minute, they were like, they pulled the trigger and they went and they crushed it. And it's good. Just like amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think they were out at BRC last week.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to chat with them, but Tom and Ursula, next time I see you, I'm going to find you and say hello. And yeah. Thank you for listening to the pod. We appreciate it.
Yeah, well, they were real appreciative of the Striders episode, and they were talking about you and your family, so it was cool to hear from them. They stopped me at the farmer's market and were like, hey, you're Ross. You do the podcast. And I was like, what? No way. This is amazing. So, yeah, it was very cool of them to stop and say hi and, yeah, mention that they're listening to the podcast. So big shout out to them. Did you see Katie Crane's story from this weekend?
No, what happened?
Holy cow. Okay, so she did the canyons. I think it was a 100 miler up in Oregon.
No big deal.
And she was like out front on like mile 75 and they called the race because of like bad air quality due to like some fires happening.
Yeah.
Which is a super bummer because she's been training super hard and she was crushing it.
Uh-huh.
And then she literally played the role of a hero and like carried somebody down to an area where they could get medical attention because that person was struggling out on the trail.
No kidding.
It's like, okay, so you're not only my hero,
yeah.
You're like everybody's hero, like a literal hero who's
wow.
Pretty much helped save somebody's life.
That's intense.
Yeah, dude. Crazy.
Holy cow. Well, Katie, thank you for being a good person and an inspiration. That's incredible.
Yeah, so amazing. And then, of course, coming up real quick overseas, something big with the man, the myth, the legend in the community, Logan Ziegemeier.
Yeah, that UTMB Friday, right? Starts this Friday?
Yeah, it's coming quick.
No doubt. I have a feeling it's going to go really well for him.
Yeah. Just a sneaky suspicion. Yeah.
Sneaking suspicion. All the hard work he's put in. I mean, you know, we've seen him training for a while for other races, and it seems like he's on another level for this one. Like, he's on a mission. I don't truly understand the magnitude of this race, but I think he does, and yeah. It's showing with the insane workouts he's been doing. You know, not just the running hills, but, like, the stair climber workouts he's been doing and the weights he's been doing. Yeah. So best of luck out there in Switzerland and France.
And Italy.
And Italy, where he's been posting some incredible stories lately from.
Yeah.
Super cool.
It's not ugly out there.
No. Definitely doesn't suck to be out there.
Well,
right,
and it's
now.
Cool that he's about to embark on something that we talked with him about on the podcast a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been grinding. He's been getting ready for this. And now it's time to go shine in the Super Bowl of ultramarathons.
Yeah.
So really, really neat that he's going to get this opportunity and he's going to represent Chico. And you know that there's going to be a lot of people in this area pulling from him and thinking about him over the next few days. I know that there's something coming up Friday.
Yeah.
People are going to do kind of a tribute to the amount of elevation mm-hmm. gain that he's going to get over there, 30,000 feet. What's going down Friday?
Yeah, it sounds like BRC has put together a little hill climbing event on Friday morning at 6 a.m. meeting up at Green Gate. Come out, I guess, this is just what I saw on the post, come out, run up and down Green Gate as many times as you feel like going up and down Green Gate. And I think the goal is to get to that 30,000 feet of climbing between everybody who's out there, the 36,000 feet of climbing, whatever it ends up being. So I plan to go out and probably do one time up and down because that's plenty for me. But yeah, if anybody else is around that hears this, come check it out, support Logan, and get your ass kicked.
Yeah, I mean, I just did a race with 3,000 feet of elevation gain and it kicked my ass.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine doing 30,000.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, so we'll see you Friday morning.
I'm going to be out of town. I got to find a hill to run in the Bay Area or something.
Okay,
Well, but yeah, I wish.
I'll run in spirit for you. I'm still only going to do it once, but I'll pretend like you did it too.
Yeah, that's cool. I wish I could be there. I bet there's going to be a really cool crew that shows up and supports Logan. Because, yeah, again, everybody's pulling for him. Best of luck, man. So this is going to be cool.
One other thing that I definitely don't want to glance over, because we did spend so much time with Danny talking Striders. They did have their the Coach Mile this last weekend that he was talking about as like a, you know, the ceremonial kickoff of cross country running or cross country season for the local schools. I went out there with both my daughters. It was a great event. There were, gosh, probably 115, 120 kids running.
Amazing.
Several local coaches were out there. Parents jumped in and did some running as well. Just a really cool event. Those kids are fast.
Sweet.
Like really fast. Butte College, if you're listening, there are some really fast local runners up and coming, if you didn't already know. It was a really cool event. So shout out to them again. Just more awesome things happening in our community. And before we dive into our guest today, Ross, I gave you a warning yesterday about what I wanted to take a couple minutes to talk about, and that's gratitude.
Okay.
Right? So
here we go.
Here we go is right. Buckle up. A theme in our podcast is just this gratitude that we have for the running community that we get to be a part of. Gratitude for the park, gratitude for the people, gratitude for what running gives us on so many different levels. And, you know, going back to the race that you ran this weekend in Santa Cruz, you know, you make your videos after every run. I haven't watched all 382 of them, but I've watched a lot of them. And the one from this race this last weekend really stood out to me. And I think it's a snapshot of what you stand for and what we're trying to, you know, show people who are listening what Chico Running is all about. And that's when you went through every aid station, and I think you said the best thing I've ever heard at an aid station. I've said some awful things at aid stations. And if you've run races, we've all been there. Like, just like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I pay money to do this. But you came through an aid station. You said, I don't need anything, just some support, right? Just some good energy. And I think that goes a long way as a snapshot of who you are and what you're trying to do with running. And it was just really cool to see that. And it never occurred to me like, hey, maybe those race volunteers got as much out of that as you did, right? They're there sending out the good vibes. So gratitude for what you're doing for the running community. Gratitude for you sharing all of these experiences. So this break is brought to you by gratitude. If I have to tell you to be grateful for something, it's probably not really gratitude, but thanks, be grateful. Man. Yeah.
I'm blushing over here, dude. I really appreciate it. I got gratitude for race volunteers. You know, right? They're out there doing their thing, supporting people.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. They're not getting paid for it. They're just a part of it. So that's cool, man. And so much gratitude to be running and sharing this journey with you, man. Ross and Peter's Pod on the Run, dude. We're doing something. We're making something happen. And it's certainly a wonderful community to cover. And there's a community college that we're grateful to cover, too, that we're going to hear from in just a bit. What's this break brought to you by?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Hydration, too? Go drink some water?
Drink some water, man. Stay hydrated. Electrolytes. Runners out there. Electrolytes. Whatever you need. Drink it and stay hydrated.
The Limoncello Sparkling Water LaCroix has been my jam lately. Go get you some of that.
Yeah, but don't drink too much of it because it messes up your teeth. Remember, we talked about that.
Damn it. All right, welcome back. We have some guests in the studio that just smashed some sparkling waters. It was pretty epic. Coming out of talking about hydration and, of course, gratitude. We have some gratitude big time for our guests today. We would like to welcome some members of the Butte College cross country team, including the coaches Kyle Fales and Mark Chavez. This is really cool. Before we get into it, a few months ago now, they reached out and expressed interest in being on the pod. It's a perfect partnership because it gives us a chance to sort of, I don't know, wade into some waters that we haven't been into yet with this podcast, and that is to actually focus on a collegiate running team.
Yeah, we do a lot of talking about our very casual running that we do. So to bring in high-level runners and coaches from the college level is super cool.
Super cool. Yeah. So much gratitude for that. It was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I immediately texted you. You were like, let's do it. That's so cool. Yeah.
What are they doing tomorrow? If only it were that easy.
So yeah, so we've got Coach Kyle and Coach Mark in the house. We also have some runners in the house that we'll get to a little bit later, but we kind of wanted to break this down into segments. So this is going to be the Coach's Corner segment. So Kyle and Mark, welcome to Ross and Peter's Pod on the Run. Thanks so much for coming. Let's go.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, you guys.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so let's start here. Butte College cross-country season has pretty much just got underway. We had the first event recently. Tell us about it.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark. You took the team.
Yeah, so we took half of the team, half of the guys up to Eureka just to get a little head start of the season, just get a little teaser. We didn't take everybody, but the group that we took had a great experience. You know, a lot of them, it was their first time running a four-miler. Got to see a little competition in the college level. And it was a nice little team bonding for the guys. The travel was long, 10 hours on the road for a 25 less minute run. So, but overall, it was a great experience to get out there, see a couple other colleges, kind of just get ourselves, tip our toes in the water, basically. Yeah. So it was a good experience.
Love that. And, you know, it's big to get the season underway because it's our understanding that you guys are coming off a really, really good year and you have a talented roster of runners that Pete and I know firsthand, which we'll get into in a little bit.
But I'm still sore, by the way.
Yeah. You know, tell us a little bit about last year and how it's impacting this year and the growth that you want to see.
Yeah, so last year we were lucky. We had a pretty special group. We ended up surprising a lot of folks. We had a really strong top three guys and then brought along some other guys that towards the end of the year that we were able to win NorCals for the first time in how many years?
42 years.
What?
Yeah. Wow.
42 years. So, yeah, it's pretty impressive that we were able to accomplish that. And we had some great talent on the female side, too. So, yeah, we're just trying to keep that motor going. So, it, you know, it definitely helps for recruiting when you have some talent like that and some success like that. And so we've got a strong crew again this year that we're looking to do some more business.
Yeah. So you say you won NorCals. That's, what would that be the equivalent to? Can you like give us a parallel? Like, is that the big end of season culmination of everything? Like, obviously you have a lot of meets along the way, but like, is that the one you guys are like always like, this is what we're working toward?
Yeah. So last year, especially, that's kind of the one we had circled on our calendar. So that's kind of the one we set our tapers for and everything. That's the one where we knew we needed to make a splash. And so early in the year, there's always, you know, some meets where we get together with all these teams and you kind of get an idea where you stand. And so we made some noise then. And then NorCal's, it's the one meet before state. And so there's a North meet and a South meet. And mm-hmm. so we're the top team in the North coming out of that going into state. So
going back to last season, how, like, when in the season did you as coaches realize, oh man, we might have something here?
I think we started realizing something special was going on maybe in the summer. I think early on, Kyle was his first year out there helping me out, and I think really early on we kind of started feeling like this might be something special. The previous years prior, we've slowly been building and building and just getting more Butte College out there, you know, in the junior college scenery. Uh-huh. And it just had been building for years until last year in the summer. We were like, this group can probably do something that hasn't been done in a long time. And it was a hunch, but we did not really kind of push too much on it. We were like, all right, let's just see how it plays out.
Yeah.
And every race, every meet leading up to conference, postseason, NorCals, we started getting more confident, like, yeah, we have something here that a lot of people are sleeping on us on. So it was exciting time to really see that kind of unfold us firsthand. So.
Yeah, we had a lot of team buy-in too. That was key. I mean, early on, we had a few guys that identified that maybe we step back in a few workouts and try and bring some of our other guys along. And so it was definitely a full team commitment to that goal from the very start. And so we had a lot of conversations around that, and everybody bought in, and it worked out.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you guys were able to identify that. And, you know, Mark, you just kind of said something like, we didn't want to push too hard, but like, there's got to be excitement building in you guys as you're watching these workouts and these, you know, these races leading up to the big one. Like, how do you not be like, you guys can do this. Like, you're on the verge of something really special. Like, how do you not push them too hard?
Ooh, good question.
I think there'd been a lot of, from my conversation with Mark, a lot of, like I said before, kind of individual goals. And I think for the first time, we really got that team buy-in. And these guys were just all on the same page. And you know, we had that strong top three that we had kind of identified early on, but it was always a question of, okay, can we bring some of these other guys along to match that or come close to that? And so as far as cross-country scoring goes, it's those top five guys that really matter. Uh-huh. And so right. We needed some other pieces to fall into place. And so we knew we had the right top three to do it, but it was a question mark of the rest. And, you know, it just kind of worked out.
I think that's so cool about cross-country. My dad has a friend who was the fifth runner on a really good high school team.
Yeah.
And it, like, his performance in one of the end of the season runs was like the reason they ended up winning, is because he like did better than anticipated and scored that necessary point or two to help them, you know, get the dub.
Yeah.
It's just cool how that works in the cross country landscape. It's like that fifth runner is just as important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have to give credit to our number fourth runner, who was kind of our backbone for NorCal's. He was the one that was the most consistent one, I think. He gained a lot of spots, moved up a lot throughout the whole entire race. It was Chris Brennan, right?
Chris Brennan.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he was our top three guys, did their job, did amazing. But our fourth guy was the one that kind of sealed the deal. Everybody, fifth, sixth, and seventh runners did their part, but our number four was kind of the one that solidified ourselves.
Yeah. So if we could just take a second, I know essentially nothing about scoring in cross country. How does that work? Like, when you guys show up to a meet, how do you earn points? What's the format of that?
Yeah, so it's like golf. You want low score. Okay. And so first place is 1 point, and so on and so forth. But your top five guys score, and so that makes up your team score. But your next two guys, so your top seven, those two can displace other runners and add points to them. So, you know, if your top five guys come in, but your sixth guy comes in before another team's fifth, it bumps him down a spot. And so really the top seven is important, but the top five ultimately determine the score.
Oh, that's a trip. Yeah. The five that, you know, your top five getting the points, but I had no clue that, you know, if I'm number seven, but I beat, you know, your number four guy, that's a big
difference.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So then do you guys typically take seven runners to a race?
We have more than that typically.
We try to take everybody to every race. It comes down to postseason where we kind of have to bring our roster down to the top seven, which is always the hardest part. But we kind of give everybody the opportunity to compete at every race as much as possible and kind of put them, you know, make their stand, like statement, like, hey, I belong on that postseason roster.
Yeah.
But everybody usually travels and competes throughout the whole season.
Yeah. And conference is when we have to, after conference, we narrow it down. And so we do it kind of based on performance at conference, but also, you know, throughout the whole season. Mm-hmm. So
stays competitive within the team throughout the year.
Yeah.
100%.
Which is cool.
Definitely helps too.
So do you have to announce, like, these are our seven that we are, that are competing, or is it just like, well, we brought 15 people and, you know, our top five are going to be our top five, whoever they end up being?
For invites, you don't announce. It's just your top seven. But after conference, we only take seven. So,
very cool. And then Sorry, Ross, if I'm getting into the weeds here. I just have like all these questions coming up.
That's great. That's great.
So if you bring, we'll say 15 guys, are the people that don't qualify as the top, you know, seven, are they running unattached? Can they earn any kind of, I mean, not podiums, but like some recognition in the races? How does that work?
Yeah, so they're not, they don't contribute to scoring. They still have, you know, the school name. That's not considered unattached or anything like that. But yeah, no factor in scoring.
Okay.
There's no limit to how many people can you can enter. You can take 15, you can take 20.
Okay.
A couple teams have 30 kids.
Yeah. Sure.
So it's however many you want to take, you can compete. But only the seven will score at that invitational or invite.
But again, it's that experience of racing at a higher level than maybe, you know, their high school or their local 5K or 10K.
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
Very cool. Kyle, Mark, is it kind of a situation where Kyle, you've got the guys, Mark, you've got the girls?
That's kind of how we've worked it out lately. It's just easier to keep track of the separate groups as far as making sure people stay on paces and all of that. So just kind of dynamic. That's kind of how it's worked out, but we haven't like, it's not officially declared that way or anything.
No, we both work with both groups. Yeah. It just depends on what the workout is the day. If we're doing hills, if we're doing repeats, if we're doing some type of interval workout, it's just easier to break it down so we can keep track of everybody's times and rest. And usually if we do a workout that we can get everybody together, it's easier for one of us to keep track of time and another person to write down times. And it just makes it, we try to work as much together as possible, but we're usually try to do it.
Yeah. Help to divvy it up a little bit.
Yeah,
absolutely. Makes a lot of sense. Well, then speaking of kind of results or what you guys are focusing on with certain groups, how did the first event of the year go?
I think it went pretty well from an outsider perspective. Obviously, Mark, you were up there with them. So.
Yeah, I think it went really well. I think, like I was saying, it was a couple of them, their first time racing at the junior college level. They performed really well. Weather was amazing up there. That played a big factor. But for them...
60 degrees. Incredible running weather when you've been running in 105.
Yeah, 60 degrees makes a big difference from 105 here. So, but overall, the six guys that scored did amazing. They were really happy with the results, and I think they are building off that into the next race. And then so forth. So I think it was a success for everybody in that early group.
Yeah. Let's go. Go Butte.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? This year, season goals. Obviously, we're trying to win. And obviously, we're trying to, you know, advance as far as we can with this, you know, the best results we can. But team culture is probably important. Competitive benchmarks are probably important. Development focus is probably important. We want the runners to improve, right? How much of that is a focus for you guys when you're out coaching them?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. I mean, that's what we're there for. You know, we're not a 4-year, we're a 2-year. And so our goal is always to put everybody in the best position they can to move on to the next level if that's something they want to do. So,
yeah, for us, it's having them come in. If they want something to prove, we give them the platform. The goal is always them spend 2 years max and move on to the next level. That's the biggest goal. I think that's personally for me and hopefully Kyle too, is seeing them run at the 4-year. And luckily we've had a couple guys move on. One of our ladies moved on to Stan State. So just seeing them perform at the next level, I think that's the biggest win for all of us.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So it is a 2-year program with the big goal of like, if you want to keep running, we're going to do what we can to get you there. How do you guys recruit? What do you look for? I mean, I know we talked a little bit about this when we were hanging out a few weeks ago, but like, I know you have somebody who's here from Eureka now. Are these like, how do you recruit? Where do you recruit?
Yeah, that's really all credit to Mark. So I'll let him take that.
So it's always started with just, we want to build our team within Butte County, Glen County, anything that's attached to Butte. We want to build home. We want to make Butte County proud. And winning and, you know, doing really well, getting more exposure gives us that leverage to reach out to other areas and them get us on their radar. So luckily, we've, like you've mentioned, we've gotten kids from Eureka, Grass Valley, Sacramento. One of our athletes last year was from Merced. So we've kind of really started slowly expanding out. But our core is Butte County. My biggest thing is reach out to kids that are from our area. And last year kind of showed it that we can build from within to be one of the best in Northern California and hopefully in the state. So
it'd be so fun. It'd be so fun to be like a scout.
Yeah, right.
Like a general manager of any like professional organization that's like looking around for the best talent, or maybe somebody that like is being overlooked at a smaller community around this area.
That's a big piece.
Yeah, you're just like salivating. Like I hope that they come to my school because this person, I see the potential in them.
100%. I think we've gone lucky to have individuals come that have a little chip on their shoulder. Like, hey, why didn't I get exposure, or why didn't I get talked to? Like, I think our team's gone that group that's like, hey, I have something to prove, so I'm going to work, you know, my tail off and get my name out there. And we're giving them that chance. And it's been amazing because they've elevated our program to new heights. And I think it's going to just continue, hopefully, in the next few years. So we're pretty excited for the future of the direction we're going right now.
Well, right. And when you have good results, the local area sees that, right? And, you know, Paradise, Chico, Live Oak, Gridley, like, they're all so close. And, you know, like, we always talk about, this is a running community.
Yeah.
People here run. It's kind of ridiculous sometimes how many people I see around running. So, yeah, you guys have a nice pool right here, but really cool that, you know, you're getting that outside, you know, folks from outside of our immediate circle.
Yeah, it's starting to trickle down for sure, so... As Mark mentioned, you know, one of our top three guys, Merced, last year. And then we've got a kid from Eureka this year that we didn't even really reach out to, really. He just knew what we had done and wanted to be a part of the program. And so, you know, he has a school in his backyard he could have gone to, but decided to come down here and work with us. So.
Yeah. When we were out with you guys a few weeks ago, I got a chance to chat with him. And I was like, so you left...
Yeah,
60 to 65 degrees to come run in the hellscape that is Butte County. Like,
it's definitely been an adjustment.
It's an adjustment for him. He's been kind of getting used to it now, but it's been a few weeks.
Yeah,
but he's getting really accustomed to it.
Good. Yeah.
Well, congrats on building something special. Yeah. That's so exciting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This year, hey, you got some meets coming up that you're excited about. Maybe an event that you're hosting you're excited about. What's the forecast for the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, next up is state preview, so that'll be kind of the measuring stick on where we're at. So, you know, most teams in the state will be there, and so it gives us a good idea of where we're going to stack up, and so we're hoping to show off a little bit. I think, you know, as far as the North goes, we're already going to have a target on our back a little bit after last year's performance. Yep. We've got one of our top three guys coming back, and obviously – I think he's a real contender this year. And so, yeah, we're going to see what happens. But I think we're pretty excited about our group. And so that's the next big one.
Yeah, and then we're going to try our first four-year meet. So we go from a four-miler to an 8K. So we're going to try that out for the first time this season. Just try to get everybody a mark to see what the next level looks like and feels like. So that's another exciting one. And we do have one that we're going down to LA, Mount SAC, one of the biggest well-known courses, schools in California. So we're excited to go out there, test our level and see what we can do with them. And you did mention we are hosting our own invite October 10th for the college, but we do have, for the first time, I think ever, we're doing our high school meet October 4th. So that one's called the Liam Seahorn Invitational. So we'll do high school, middle school, and I'm pretty excited about that one. We're bringing quite a few teams, over 20 high schools. We've got a lot of middle schools, clubs coming. So it's going to be a big event, and we're just excited to connect with the community, get us out there with all the local high schools and all around area.
Yeah. So October 4th, you guys are coordinating all of that. That's a huge undertaking. How are you take, like, where's the manpower coming from for that?
Well, luckily we've partnered with Durham High School. So Durham and ourselves we're partnering together to get this event, because by ourselves, we would not be able to manage that kind of mandate, you know.
Yeah.
That just a lot of time and a lot of preparation. We've started this process probably before the summer even started. Mm-hmm. So we started getting little things organized, but luckily we're working with Durham. They're awesome that we're doing half the work. They're doing half. We're just going to make this one of the most successful high school meets, hopefully this year.
Great.
Well, count me in as somebody who's down to volunteer.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Because it'd be fun to come out and hang with you and help support that event.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a fun day. We're gonna have some vendors out there, and so be selling some snacks and stuff like that. Try and make it an actual event and a good day out there. So it'll be fun.
Get your popcorn. Yep. Come get your popcorn.
And water. Stay hydrated. Runners especially, stay hydrated.
Brought to you by water.
Brought to you by water always.
I got a question for you. Training philosophy. You probably have to balance intensity with your team, recovery, but also looking to build culture and team bonding. I hate to put you on the spot here, but is there maybe like a training philosophy that you guys have? Maybe something simple of just how you go about, you know, coaching your crew?
Yeah, I think it's changed a lot since we both ran. I think when we were running at Butte, it was a lot of go do a mile repeat. Let's check your heart rate. And when your heart rate gets down below a certain level, go do another one. And so nowadays, all of these kids are very focused on pace and they're very pace driven. And so we make sure to break out every workout, what paces we're hoping for and what those goal times meet and what they're based off of. And so we did a time trial to start the season and kind of use that as our measuring point for all of our workouts going forward. So right now it's really still trying to build that aerobic base and some strength. Later on we'll get a little bit more anaerobic. But for most part, you know, cross is mostly an aerobic sport. And so you kind of focus on that until later on in the season. So
yeah, just trying to be flexible with everybody. We set a workout and we try to follow it as closely as possible. But obviously, depending on the weather, the timing, depending on how you feel that day, it's always going to be flexible. We're going to either finish it or we'll do 80% of it, but we try to get the most out of it. If we're able to successfully complete it, it's a good day. If we can get 80%, it's another good day. So we don't try to just say you got to finish this no matter what. We try to work with them, kind of feel out how they're feeling and just go from there.
Yeah, I would imagine that for a lot of these runners coming from a high school running team, you know, they probably worked pretty hard, but when you get to the next level, like, you really have to be on top of your stuff and, you know, listening to, you know what, something doesn't feel right today. This, you know, this hamstring is barking a little bit. I'm going to pump the brakes so I can run next week at the race. You guys do a lot of kind of managing and talking to the runners?
Yeah. And like what you said right now, everybody comes from different backgrounds, different high schools. A lot of them ran a certain amount of mileage, did a certain amount of workouts. When they come to us, we're trying to make it pretty balanced so everybody does the workout together. Mm-hmm. If they can do it together, finish it together, do the same amount of reps, that's the ultimate goal. And if we have to be flexible, we will.
I think, as Mark mentioned, to the mileage piece, again, we're kind of like the transition between, we want to be that transition between high school and a 4-year. Mm-hmm. And so high school, some schools do a good job of keeping track of mileage, some don't. And so that's been a key for us, is trying to get these kids to be aware of what their mileage looks like, how you should do a proper mileage build, taking down weeks when you need to. Not just continuing to build mileage every week and stack on and wear your body down. And so, so that's been an enlightening piece for a lot of them, because a lot of these 4-years require some really high mileage. Yeah. And so we're trying to bridge that gap where there's some of our guys that are hitting that high mileage and are ready for that 4-year level, and some of those guys that you got to slowly bring them along. So
it's a 2-year process. That's how we see it. It's not just 1 year you come and we bump you up to the highest mileage possible. That's not going to benefit anybody.
Yeah.
Short term, yes. Long term, no. we try to just 2-year process.
Yeah. So do you guys keep track of mileage for the runners? Like, do you like have a spreadsheet, you know, or whatever, however you guys track that stuff, where you're like really watching it? And, you know, I guess doing that could potentially offer a lot of insights as well.
Yeah, a lot of the mileage is up to them. Uh-huh. So we try to get everybody on Strava so that we can keep an eye on mileage. But
if it's not on Strava, it didn't happen.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
we
the motto.
We have kids that are very against it. So, but yeah, for the most part, we try and get everybody on there. Monday, Wednesdays are kind of our mileage or our workout days. And so we know where everybody's at mileage wise on those days. Tuesday, Thursday, get everybody together. And so we know mileage they're doing on those days. But Friday, Saturday is kind of on them to get the work done.
It's a lot of trust. So we trust them that they're going to go on their own and do what they need to do to prepare themselves. So that's, we're not here to babysit. They come here, they know what they want to accomplish. So that's on them.
That's right. The big piece is you get out what you put in. And so we can only push them so hard. And so if you don't want to work, then you don't want to work. But most of our guys are pretty committed. And so,
it makes our job easier.
Well, right. Well, and when you build a good, sense of team, there's accountability within the team, right? Because, Steph's going to call somebody out for saying, hey, like, you got to pull your weight, man. Like, we're all doing our workouts. Like, do yours too, right? And so I think that's probably very intentional too with the way you guys build the team.
Yeah, I think that was one of the keys last year is we had that buy-in from our leadership that was going to bring guys along. And we're seeing that again this year through a few guys trying to step up and push other people to, buy in. Let's do this. We have something special here. So let's work.
We have a standard now. So it's kind of like you're coming here by choice. You're going to live to the standard. We're here to, we're here to give you the resources and the advantage to move on. So we want you guys to push yourself. So,
yeah, it's like Mark mentioned the other day. It's, we recruited most of these guys here, but if you don't want to be here, we can only push you so hard. And so, we want you here, but you got to work.
The accountability, so important and so cool that you're building a supportive, high-performing environment. Speaking of performing, we went out and performed on one of those tough Wednesday workouts.
It was fun.
Yeah. It was fun.
It was fun.
Give me a cold plunge, though. Give me a pool. Give me some ice. I needed it all. Yeah.
Electrolytes.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I walked away from after that was, and we, we'll certainly take more time to talk about this, was we're old, man.
Yeah, we are.
Like,
we finished. Lapped.
Yeah, yeah. We finished the workout. But that's the end of the statement. We finished the workout.
I didn't actually perform well. It wasn't very high performing.
No. Why don't we take a break and we'll bring in the runners. This break is brought to you that's something new in my life.
Okay.
Weight training.
Yes.
If you're not strength training as a runner, you're not helping yourself.
Dude, it makes such a difference, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm like 16 days in now. Yeah. And I feel like, I'm basically a bodybuilder at this
point.
You are,
dude. You're yoked. You're getting yoked. I think for me, the biggest thing I've noticed is that I'm not necessarily seeing muscle gain that's very visible at the moment.
Yeah.
I just feel looser when I run the next day.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing for me. I'm like, wow, I was so tight. Mm-hmm. Who knew lifting weights could loosen me up?
Yeah, it's insane. Maybe there's something to all this stuff and all the people who have come on here and said, you guys should do strength training.
Like literally every one of them.
Every single person.
Shauna, Logan.
Yeah.
Noah.
Danny.
Yeah.
Everybody. Kyle. Mark. Yeah. All right, let's take a break and we'll bring in the runners.
Sweet. All right, welcome back. Hey, we just had the coach's corner. Now let's get into the runner's roundtable. We just had a fun little discussion that wasn't recorded about how to pronounce last names. I think Peter has got it.
Yes.
How about you introduce our runners?
Yeah. So we have two of the Butte College Road Runners. They are the Road Runners by mascot, and they're also cross-country runners by trade.
Awesome.
We have Jen Johnson and Steph Chapdelaine here with us tonight. So thank you guys for giving up an evening to come hang out and listen to us ramble on about running and interrogate your coaches. So we appreciate you guys coming out tonight.
Thank you guys for having us. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah.
Steph, how did he get? Did he do good with the last name? Did he nail it?
Oh yeah, he got it. He didn't capture his fails though. So. But we can move on. It's fine. Yeah,
yeah. We can edit those in.
Yeah.
All right. Way cool. Well, thank you so much for hopping on. Let's just get into this right away. What are the personal goals for the season for you, Steph?
Yeah. So my personal goals this season are to just kind of see how high I can really fly, like pushing myself to that D1 level, and because that is the goal, is to move on to the next level at this point. Last season was just kind of seeing what I'm capable of, and this season is domination. That's the goal, is domination.
And what about you, Jim? What are your goals this year?
Basically what Steph said, I'm just excited to see how far I can push myself. As of like last year was kind of like, I guess, groundwork, but toward the end of the season I like completed pretty good goals for myself that I was not expecting, so I'm super excited for this season to see what I can do.
Great. So just looking back at last season, is there a race that you both are like most proud of? Like maybe you had a great time or a high finish in some sense, or you just like, it was a tough race and you were just glad that you finished it?
Yeah, I'd say, I think my breakout race last season was our first time at Toro Park. So it was the Toro Park Invitational in Salinas. It was our regional preview, so NorCal preview. Mm-hmm. And going into the race, I was at my wit's end with the pair of trainers that I had been running in. And I told Mark, my quads are killing me. And he was like, okay, well, there's a lot of hills on this course, so just play it by ear. And I remember the whole pack got out really pretty slow for the first mile. And I was at the front of that pack, wasn't expecting that. And after the hills, I had lost the pack, and it was like, whoa, time to sprint now. Uh-huh. And then we walked away with the dub on that one. And after that, you know, it was like, that's when we knew we were locked on to NorCal's, and we kind of made that our whole, like, our whole goal that season. But for, yeah, from that point forward, I was really proud of that race.
Very cool. How about you, Jen?
For me, so my first few races were, I guess, not rough, but like not amazing, but I thought it was great. And as like races went on, I was just racing and I was just there like having fun, competitive kind of, but not really. And then when I got to Toro Park, the same race Steph ran, mm-hmm. It was kind of like I was like up there, like I was up like meddling, and I was shocked because I didn't expect it at all. Like I was just running to run, and yeah. Then I think that's when I really bought in, and then my times like started to get better, and I was just like, wow, I can actually race really well. Oh, and so
cool. Let's go.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, isn't that ultimately like what you're working toward, is like,
yeah,
you're putting in the hard work. Maybe you don't see improvement from day to day because you're running so many miles, you're doing all these workouts, but then when it really matters, mm-hmm. all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, I can do this. Like, yeah, there's some confidence because now you have that result that you've seen before.
Yeah, like progress is not always linear. Like, mm-hmm. it's going to be up and down like crazy. And yeah, I have to remind myself like all the time.
Yeah.
Like if I'm struggling, I'm just like, oh, like, yeah, I just, sometimes I'm just like really down on myself. And then I have to think about it. I'm like, I've come so far, mm-hmm. from where I have been that I should be really proud of myself and just, yeah, like focus on that.
That's a great attitude to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, way to exceed expectations too, and all of a sudden like burst onto the scene and go, wow, I'm actually really good at this.
Yeah.
This is sweet. I got a shot to do something amazing here.
Yeah.
And shout out to the coaches for recognizing the potential in that, yeah, too, seeing it probably long before you saw it. That's way cool.
Yeah.
How about this? What's really cool about you guys is that you're both local. Yeah. Where are you from, Steph?
Yeah, so I'm from a small town called Live Oak, California. People usually pass through it, going between Chico and Sac. Yeah, we only have 3 stoplights, and they're usually always green, so people usually don't even notice it's there. We have nicer sidewalks now, though, so some people are the nice sidewalks of the Dutch Bros. But other than that, yeah, people blow straight through Live Oak all the time.
You know you made it when there's a Dutch Bros.
That's
right.
And Jen, where are you from?
I'm from Durham, I get to hear about all the meat that Butte and Durham are planning.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Did you play a part in that?
A little bit.
Yeah, let's go. Well played. The farm. I used to love going to Durham to cover sports. Such a special place. Mm-hmm. A really great community. That's cool. Well, how did each of you get into running?
Yeah, I'll go first on that one. it's going to sound really corny, but I was like 7th or 8th grade and I watched the McFarland USA movie and it was like, oh, small town, small farming community, and they like won state. So like from that point on, I was like, oh, I feel like I could be an endurance athlete. And then like it just happened like by coincidence that my freshman year we got cross country for the first time like ever in Live Oak. And so from there, I kind of just ran for fun. I mean, I was quick in high school, but until I really met Mark and he showed me that no, you shouldn't run easy miles as fast as you can, that's when we started to see some progress. But other than that, it was just for the love of running.
That's
and
crazy.
That movie as inspiration.
I don't think that's corny at all. I think that's the whole point of storytelling and sharing those things, is to inspire other people, right? If you hadn't seen that, maybe you wouldn't have had this perspective, like this is possible, right? So that's really cool.
Yeah, it feels like running chose you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I try not to think about it too much. It gets weird sometimes. But so, yeah, super thankful for the opportunities, because it's my passion now.
So being from a small town like Live Oak, did you play other sports as well growing up? Or was it just like, about middle school, I started to run and that's kind of what I did after that?
Yeah, I did. I tried out a couple sports in high school other than running.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my middle school years, I played soccer and basketball.
Okay.
I was pretty decent. And then once I got into high school, everybody got bigger and better, and I didn't.
I'm familiar.
I kind of just continued with running, and then I played tennis in the fall. So that's another fun fact. I never did track until senior year.
Wow.
I played tennis for 3 years, and then Mark recruited me, and he was like, hey, it's time to put the racket away.
Yeah.
And I sadly agreed, but I don't know. The season made up for it. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's time to go make a racket on the track.
Oh, nice. Well played.
Former English teacher, I've got puns you got that it, you wouldn't believe. Yeah.
What about you, Jen? How'd you get into running?
So for me, I actually started my sophomore year I was outside during school and these girls were recruiting for a track team and I was like, no way. And my friend was like, no, we should do it. We can meet new people. I'm like, I really don't want to meet new people. That's not like a winner for me. But she was like, well, I'm doing it. And I was like, okay, fine. So we both signed up. We both got a piece of pizza for signing up.
That's a no-brainer.
And for the first few practices, I didn't show up. I didn't go. And then my friend was like, it's so boring out here. You should come out. And I was like, okay. And I came out. I swear I was against myself because I wanted to quit too. I got in and I was like, oh, this sucks. But I was scared of the coach, so I didn't end up quitting. And then I came... I came back and then I was like, okay, this isn't too bad. And then my times started to get faster. And then junior, middle junior year, times getting better. And then I also got recruited for cross country and I hated that. And I was like, no, but yeah, here I am loving it now. And then I wasn't going to go further than high school, but then Mark chasing me around at every meet. So, yeah, that's how I got recruited.
I think you know, and correct me if I'm wrong. I did not run when I was younger. Ross and I are both kind of in the same boat. Like, we got into running way later in life. From my perspective, track seems a lot more alluring than cross country when you're a teenager.
Like, yeah.
Cool. Sprints for, you know, a straightaway, one loop, a couple loops around the track. Great.
Yeah.
3 or 4 miles, hard pass.
Yeah. No, I was like, definitely like a mile, that's it. And then next season, next cross season, I'm running 3 and I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. I don't like that.
So. Yeah. Now a mile is barely a warm up for you, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I'm going to go do like 7 more after this just because.
I know. I think about it a lot because, like they said, like mileage was not thrown on me. Like I got to like slowly increase to where I'm at. And he was like, Mark would be like, oh, maybe you've run 3. And I'm like, 3? And then now I'm like out here running like 7 miles, like 8. And I'm just like, wow, I am shocked.
That's awesome. Going back to high school track for both of you, what events did you run on the track side of things?
I ran mostly just the mile.
Okay.
In high school I ran the 800, the 1600, and the 3200. And they threw me in the 4x4 sometimes.
Because it's a small school and you guys didn't have a big team, you got to fill those relays.
If I didn't find a good enough hiding spot after the 32, I was running the 4x4.
Come on, Steph, it's only one more lap. You can do this. Oh, that's fun. That's very cool.
What about favorite workouts? You were just mentioning how your mileage has increased. What about favorite workouts for each of you?
Oh, yeah. Me and the guys were just talking about this today, actually. Somebody said they really liked the 800s today. But for me, it's got to be mile repeats or 1K repeats. both of those are my favorite. I like those longer repeats for sure.
1Ks, I like them, but not mile repeats. I like ladder workouts when we do those.
Okay.
I don't know. I just like going up and then going down. I kind of like to keep track of like, okay, it's only this much more. It's only this much more. Like, because it gets more and then you're just coming back down.
Yeah.
For our listeners that don't know, what is a ladder workout?
So, for example, like, let's say like 200, 400, 800, and then like a mile, and then you come back down like mile 800, 400, 200, whatnot. It's just like a repeat of like going up in like meters and then coming back down.
Ready to get a ladder workout in Bidwell Park soon?
Absolutely.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah, but let's not invite them this time.
Way cool. Okay, how about rituals? How do we get ready for race day?
Oh, yeah. If you've shared a hotel room with me before, you know my race day ritual. And if you've bought a hotel room next to me, you also know my ritual. It's kind of funny. I wake up as soon as my alarm goes off. I turn on every lamp in the hotel room, wherever we're staying at. And then I scream. it's race day to my teammates who are sound asleep. And then I turn on my my big JBL boombox and I blast music while I take a shower and get ready for the race.
Well, what are we blasting? This is epic.
What are we blasting? In the morning it's something to get us hyped. So it's usually rap. Mornings actually we go with like old school rap. So like Tupac.
Oh, wait. I was just saying, let's see what he thinks old school is.
Old school is relative.
Yes.
Me and one of my prior teammates really liked a lot of like old school rap, so like Tupac, Too Short, E-40.
Okay, we can hang out.
Yeah,
we can hang out.
Right, you're right on my alley. I'm a Bay boy, so
I can tell you when to go for sure.
Gas break dip. Okay.
Yeah, always.
Biatch. You should add blowing the whistle to it's race day.
We would play that. Yeah, we would play that every race day for sure. And then all that combined with black coffee and breakfast.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
Okay.
Other than that, keep it simple.
So
I need you like every morning as I get ready for work. I need Steph in my ear. It's race day. It's work day.
Yeah. So do you have like a meal that you like to eat the night before? Do you do anything like that? Or is it just like, I'm 20 years old, I can eat whatever I want. I'm gonna be fine tomorrow.
Unlike the story I just told you about my lunch or my early dinner today, I keep it pretty controlled most of the time. Okay. Burritos tend to work the night before race day, but other than that, it's just pasta, carb loading the night before, and then morning of, it's black coffee, toast, and a lot of peanut butter.
Jen, how about you? How do you get ready for a race?
Well, mine's like completely opposite of Steph's. I am more calm. I get like tend to get really nervous, so I have to like reel myself in and like breathe and like focus. Like I've been training for this. Like I'm mostly like I talk a lot. So in the mornings, like during before a race, I'm just like try to be as silent as possible so I can like focus on my race and like kind of imagine like how I'm gonna be where I'm at and like at the same time I know some of my girls are like very nervous, so I try to like help the energy of like calm, don't stress about it. We've been training for this.
Good.
And another thing that I didn't do before, but now I want to do, like keep it in my routine, is saying a prayer before I race. Like I have a teammate, Ari. She like kind of was like, "Hey, can you pray with me?" And I'm like, "Yes, of course." And so now that she's done it so many times, that I'm just like, it brings me peace right before I race.
Yeah, that's cool. That like the contrast is crazy, right? Super high intensity and stuff, and Jen's like, "I'm just finding my balance, getting ready to focus on what I'm doing." What is your pre-race breakfast or meal?
It depends what the hotel offers.
Okay.
Like I don't want to like overdo it, but like if they have like eggs, I'll have that. If they have yogurt, I'll have that. Some juice, but like mostly I'm just like drinking bunch of water. Like I'll have a juice with my breakfast, but after that it's just like fluids.
Yep. Stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Stay hydrated. Mm-hmm. How about night before meal? Anything that you like to have, you try to pursue so you feel good in the morning?
So for me, like I mean, we usually go to like somewhere with pasta and I'll just get spaghetti and meatballs. It's really good. It's never hurt me before, so. Yep.
Good. Yeah. It must be nice to be young and eat whatever you want.
Yep.
What does it mean to be a Butte College Roadrunner during a time when this program is on the rise?
We're always looking forward to the next thing to improve on. And I think that's kind of like the team ecosystem. You know, everybody's trying to bring everybody up. We're not trying to put each other down. You know, it's a lot of understanding each other and navigating through good practices, bad practices, and really how to empathize with your teammates when you're having a good day or you're having a bad day and they're having a good day or you're having a bad day, you know? Mm-hmm. And we're always looking forward. We'd rather have, somebody take a rep off than push it and potentially put their season on the line. So always on the next thing. That's what it means to be a Butte Roadrunner, always looking forward.
And we like are getting like a second chance that I didn't expect of getting, but everyone's getting a second chance of be able to going beyond just the junior college, like 4 year. And I like going here, I have met the most amazing people like almost ever, because all the girls on the team now I will be friends with like beyond junior college, like beyond college, because they're just such amazing people. And like, I can talk about them forever because they're just so sweet. And I could not be running like with better people right now. Like they're just so supportive. And like, if you have an off day, they'll be like, it's okay. Like you're doing it amazing. You're putting all this hard work in. Yeah. It's better to just save yourself and not injure yourself. And they're just amazing girls.
Well, I think it's worth you taking a second and calling them all out by name.
Oh, who is okay. It? There's Ariana, Ari, Paulina, Cameron, Gabby, Brooklyn. I think that's all of them. Yeah. Yeah, they're super sweet girls. If you guys are watching any races that we're in, make sure you're yelling out their names because they deserve all the credit. They are an amazing runners, and I'm excited to see where they go this season.
Yeah, Steph, squad up. Guys, yeah.
Yeah, just to add on to that, we're all we're all hungry at Butte. Everybody's hungry for a championship, a dub, a medal, whatever it is. We want our name at the top of that list because we come from smaller areas where we didn't see those big meets, you know, that some of the bigger schools see. We saw small, like, big fish, small pond, kind of like, you know, we had limits that we couldn't control. And now that we're at Butte and there's no limits, we stay hungry around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Way cool. What's interesting about you guys is that you come from areas where it's hot. Like Durham's hot.
Yeah.
Live Oak's hot.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting that the like you've kind of been born with this heat or you've been around this heat for a long time growing up. So maybe out on the track at Butte College or when you're running workouts during this time of year, it doesn't really have as much of an effect on you as it does a teammate coming from the coast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He had a hat on today. He's doing a little better. He's doing great, yeah. But, yeah, in Live Oak, yeah, it's really hot. My 6-mile loop has hardly any shade. But it's kind of a blessing in disguise because, like you said, we go to these cooler areas like Salinas, and it's like a playground of a course. Yeah. It's like, oh, I can enjoy this workout, this thrill. It's so thrilling to go to these cooler areas and race. So, yeah, definitely kind of an advantage.
That's way cool. So, hey, the first event, how was it cheering for your teammates?
Okay, so yeah, we didn't go.
I'm sure you were paying attention. I'm sure you were.
Yeah, my brother actually walked on this year, so I was FaceTiming Mark, and I was like, show me the race, and he was like, no, I have to take pictures. And I was like, dang it. So then my brother called me after the race, you know, and he told me how he did, and he did really well, you know. I'm really proud of my brother. He's a little old. Some people call him the team unk. Not to make you guys feel even older. He's only like 23, but yeah, no, they call him the team unk, and he kind of took it personally. But he kind of broke out that race. Like, he did really well, and I'm so proud of him. He didn't get that in high school.
Yeah.
For those listening that don't know, my brother had cancer his sophomore year of high school. So. And it affected his junior year as well. And, like, honestly, the rest of his life. But
totally. And yours.
Yeah, but mostly his, you know. And he's come full circle to now running on the same team as me. So it's so inspiring to see. He's our number 8, and he crushed it at that meet.
That's really so special.
I was so excited. Yeah. He got some good pictures, too. Yeah. So. Yeah, it was really great to see.
That's really cool.
Well, maybe sometime later on down the road, we can get you and your bro on together at the end of this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
That would be...
Yeah.
He'd love to tell his story. Yeah, it's fair.
Oh, my gosh.
It inspires me.
You're rocking me right now.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It inspires me every week. Yeah, for sure.
That's super. Was he out at the track the day that we were out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was there.
He probably lapped us a couple times.
Sure, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember the back of his head because he just blew by. Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, let's transition to the workout.
Yeah.
What a day. Hey, you had a great idea when we were getting this lined up.
It great?
Yeah. I just thought it was cool.
Yeah.
You know, when we were scheduling this podcast, Peter had mentioned, hey, why don't we go work out with them, see what it's like, you know, be a roadrunner for a day. We got our butts kicked,
yes.
But it was really fun.
Yeah.
We did a tough workout.
We did.
What were your thoughts on that day, man?
It was fun. We don't ever run on a track, right?
Yeah,
we don't have access to a track necessarily. So it was definitely a different experience. And I think right from the jump, the difference was obvious, right? You guys all go out for your warm-up, you know, like we're used to doing a mile and a half, 2 mile warm-up before we do a workout in the training programs we've been in. Our warm-up is drastically different than your warm-up. Your warm-up pace is like what our kind of getting after it pace is. So it was definitely kind of a trip to be like, well, this is a little more aggressive warm-up than I'm kind of used to, Ross. Like, I don't know how this is going to go.
I was breathing heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
In the warm-up.
Yeah, not to mention it was also, I don't know, 95 degrees or 100 degrees near that. Yeah, that was... that set the pace for the rest of the way, I think.
Yeah. I thought it was fun to run in a pack.
Yeah.
Like just for the 5-10 seconds that I was running in a pack at the beginning of that run.
But you could imagine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't know. There's something exhilarating about being in a pack.
Yeah. I'm totally with you on that. You know, like when you have, the 4 or 5 people around you just pulling you along, right? I think we might have talked about this on the day of, like, it takes the thinking about how fast am I going? Do I need to slow down? Do I need to speed up? Because somebody else is already setting that pace. So it makes the running, I don't want to say mindless, but mindless, right? Yeah. Your body's just going. The legs are just turning over. You're following the person in front of you. I liked it on that level.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. That's such a great point. Steph, you broke away from the pack pretty fast. What's your mile time? Because that's got, I don't know, what exactly was the workout we were doing? 3x2 off. Three on, 2 off.
Yeah. And before we started, you know, we did the warm up, we did strides, we did dynamic warm up. Kyle calls everybody over and he's like, hey, let's review paces for working on today. And again, it was very clear when we started the warm up, we weren't going to be keeping up at any kind of pace that these guys were running and these ladies were running. But you know, you read those off, Kyle, and you provided another number that like took me a second to wrap my mind around. It was how many meters they should cover theoretically in the 3 minutes on. I was like, wait, I get it now. And I think that like that's something that I never even consider, right? I mean, I don't think in meters, and I'm sure you don't think in meters either. Thank goodness there are computers that you can just convert all that stuff. But I gotta believe that providing that kind of data to your runners is helpful for them.
Yeah, I just try and give them multiple ways of looking at the workouts. Everybody's brain works a little bit differently. And so, especially in a workout like that where you're going for a certain amount of time at a certain pace, it just helps to know, you know, if I'm a minute and a half into this and I've only covered a quarter of the distance I was supposed to go, my pace is a little off.
Yeah.
And
I better pick it up.
Yeah. It's that mindless factor that you mentioned before. We kind of want them to just go and run and not be staring at their watch the whole time, making sure their pace is on point. And so if you can add that distance measurement into it and we're yelling out, you know, how much time's left, then you kind of got an idea where you're at. So
can you real quick explain the workout we did?
Yeah. So we did 3 minutes on, 2 minutes off 6 times, I think, that day. And so 30 minutes of total work. The 2 minutes off is, you know, really up to the runner on how quickly they're going. But the 3 minutes on, we have that specified pace that they're trying to hit and that distance. And then that day was based off of tempo pace and some time off of tempo. And so that's kind of how we came up with it.
Yes. There was none of that. There was none of that, which was good.
And Steph, it was cool when you were reading off the paces. Steph, what was your tempo pace that day?
I think my 3 minutes on were supposed to be spent around anywhere from 5:15 to 5:20.
Yeah.
I believe, but I spent most of my time below 5, actually. Okay, because
you were flying, dude. Yeah. You were flying. Yeah.
When we weren't just going slow.
Yeah.
Well, when we do the interval workouts, I don't know, in my brain I'm like naturally I want to pass people. So I have to check myself like every lap or so and like slow down a little bit. But it's like when there's people in front of me, I naturally want to pass them. Yeah. So it makes me go a little bit faster.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, well, thanks for picking me off way more than once. Yeah.
I wasn't trying to make you look bad on purpose. Don't worry.
We do that ourselves. And Jen, what was your pace that day? Do you remember what it was?
I don't. It was 6 something. I don't know. I think it was
6-7.
Too fast.
Yeah, I don't. It was like between like 6:30, around there.
Yeah. Cooking.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jeez. Impressive. I just have a vivid memory of like huffing and puffing on like the fourth rep and just like hearing
it wasn't till the fourth one for you.
Well, no, I was huffing and puffing on the first two, trust me. But the fourth rep, you know, I'm feeling a little bit more. And I've got like thundering footsteps creeping up on me. And I like kind of veer off to the side. And there's Steph just like a locomotive, yeah. you know, just like churning up, you know, track rubber with each step, just flying by. I was like, damn, he's flying.
And, you know, again, our warm-up was substantially slower than their warm-up. Their recovery is so much faster. The pace of their recovery is so much faster than what I was doing for my recovery. I think mine was like 9.5, almost 10 minute recovery pace.
Yeah, definitely very deliberate on the jogging.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting that heart rate under control.
Taking the active out of active recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. It was very much recovery, not active.
Well, that was a fun day. What would you, I don't know, like, how would you say Pete and I did? What were your observations of us old guys out there?
No, I think you guys did great. I mean, you made it through the whole workout. That's always the goal for us, right? Yes. So, yeah, no, it's important. You know, it's definitely an aerobic workout. And so that's what I said before we focused on early on. And so just making sure that you are breathing. That's the whole point of the workout. Not necessarily beating the legs up and building that lactic. And so trying to stay aerobic, and you guys hung in there. So.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. We survived. That's what we did. That's what we set out to do, was survive. And I know we talked about this on that day. We would love to come out and do that again sometime. Maybe further in the season when you're, you know, your training focus is shifting, just to see what that experience is like.
Yeah.
You know, like Ross and I are kind of like kids in a candy shop right now with our running. It's like any kind of new experience, like no matter how hard it is, it's like, this is still freaking awesome. Yeah. Like we get to come out and do this.
Yeah, you bet.
You know, I was, my thing when we do harder workouts, harder is relative, Steph and Jen, they would not be hard for you guys, but you know, like we get to do these mile repeats. We get to do these 1K repeats. We get to do these sprints, right? Like it's that idea of gratitude again. Yeah. Like this is so cool. Like we could not be doing this. We could be doing something that's not as productive or healthy. Yeah. So yeah, it was super fun to come out there and we just, we had a blast and then like fools went out and did another run an hour later because the run group meets that afternoon and we're like, oh, well, we'll just go do another 5 miles, which hurt. Yeah,
that's true.
Probably why I was sore. It wasn't your workout that made me sore. It was the next one. That's what I'm going
to
tell myself.
It was fun being a part of that experience. Yeah. That's a good call. It was cool to do something different and to get involved with the team there and do that workout with them.
Yeah.
It was very cool. Hey, Steph, when you're in the zone and it's the middle of a competition, the middle of a race, and you're trying to speed up, and you're digging deep. You know, what are you thinking about in those moments? What goes through your mind when you're like, when it's time to turn it on?
First and foremost, I say prayers before, during, and after the race, you know, to get myself through it and remind myself like why I'm here, why I'm doing this, mm-hmm. and the ultimate goal. To glorify God in everything I do. So that, and then second, I look for my family in the crowd, depending on what course it is. You know, my mom's always screaming her face off. So, and I love it. I appreciate it so much. And my dad's usually there too. My dad's like, he helps out. He stands at certain points on the run and he yells a number at me that I instantly know, like, okay, like this is what I need to do, or this is how far ahead or behind I am. Yeah. So, you know, that support system, you know, that divine support system and that family support system is just what fuels me to get through the hardest workouts and the hardest races.
Sure.
Super thankful for that too.
And then just wanting to beat that guy that's in front of you. There's got to be some of that, right?
Yeah, or build the gap on the guy behind me.
Yeah, now we're talking. Yeah. How about you, Jen? Same question.
For me, I am a big person of like support. Like if the support's there, I'll like just feel on it. And like what goes to my mind, like sometimes my mind is just blank. Like I won't be thinking about anything. But if I am in a spot where I'm like, I need to make a move, I just think about like trying to get that person as close to me as possible, mm-hmm. no matter what. And like, I have this thing of like, I'll filter out literally everything unless like the people that I need to hear. Mm-hmm. And so I think that helps me a lot. Like I'll just hear Mark yelling at me. I'll hear like some teammates yelling at me, my family yelling at me. And I just think like that gets me through the race.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun.
Okay. So Steph has E40, Too Short, Little Tupac. What about you, Jen? What do you listen to?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. It's like random. I like calmer music, so like I'll listen to Leve. Her album just dropped last Friday. Everyone go listen to it. It's amazing. But yeah, I like listening to like calmer, and it's like orchestra music.
Okay.
It's just nice. Keeps me calm.
That's just before the race that I listen to that stuff. Okay. Most of the time, yeah, I can't do that 24/7. I'm not running a race every day. Most of the time I listen to Daniel Caesar, Larry June, and another rapper named Gunna. Like, really calm, but still high energy stuff, you know.
Sure, sweet.
Always keeping the good vibes. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, should we pepper them with some fun questions now? You kind of led right into that with the music.
Yeah.
You ready?
Let's do it. Go for it.
Okay. So this is for all four of you. You can all answer. A couple of you can answer however you want to approach this. So these are just some questions we throw at people when they come to chat with us. First, favorite place to run, whether it's a trail, a track, some race you've been in, favorite all time. Jen, we'll start with you.
I love running in Durham. Like there's literally, you can literally run anywhere, but I think my favorite place to like run that I enjoyed was the Toro Park race.
Okay. So Steph, how about you? Favorite place to run?
Honestly, my favorite place to do easy miles would be my hometown. Yeah. You know, I see a lot of people I know my route's exactly 6 miles and it just feels like home. But competing back in high school, we competed at a school called Paradise and I love their track so much. Yep. I don't know what about it just feels so good, but that's to this day so far my favorite track to compete at.
The track around Ohm Wraith Field. Oh. I have done some miles there myself. Kyle, Mark, favorite places to run?
Yeah, I mean for mileage, Bidwell Park. I mean you can't beat it. So it's been a lot of miles in there from my running days, and now trying to get back into it, trying to keep up with these guys a little bit.
Yeah. Which you're doing and you're crushing.
Trying to.
Is there a favorite trail in the park? Anything?
I've always loved Yahi.
Yeah.
It's a little sandy nowadays. It wasn't always like
Baywatch
that.
Baywatch running down
there. Yeah, so it's a little tough now, but that was always my favorite back in the day. So.
Totally.
And then track-wise, ran at Stanford a few times, so that was always pretty cool.
No big deal.
But Chico State was always, you know, the fast track to run on, and so that was probably my favorite.
Yeah.
I was going to have to be with Jen. Hometown, Durham, I ran there every single day when I was high school, college, post-college, until I got married and moved out of town. But favorite probably course would be every other course we go to. I like jogging with the team, just to getting that feeling back, just like, oh, kind of scout the course itself. So every meet we go to, I do my best to try to jog with the team and just get that feeling, just seeing every course, see what it feels like and just see how it is, how it's holding up and just enjoy it.
All right, next one. When you guys are out just getting some miles, right, maybe it's a long run or a longer run, are you listening to something? Do you have headphones in, or are you on natural, raw dogging it, going with your thoughts?
So for me, I listen to music, sometimes I don't. Like if I'm listening to music, I'm listening to Rihanna.
Okay.
Yeah, top tier right there.
Yep.
But sometimes I don't listen. More recently I haven't been listening to music. I just can't find headphones, to be honest with you, but it's actually been like nice. I just like talk to myself basically.
Yeah.
Good. So
good.
When you say you can't find headphones, like you can't find comfortable headphones?
No, like I had these Shox headphones.
Yeah.
And like I was out one time and I literally, everyone knows this here, I got stung by a bee, and like a bee chases me, and like I was taking everything off, so like I don't know where they went, and I ran in some random person's house because they're like, are you okay? Because I was like actually screaming, and so like I'm like, no, bees are chasing me.
So you quite literally can't find
them. Yeah, I literally can't find them. Yeah, okay. That's why.
Okay. Pretty much for me, I don't like listening to music. I like trying to have a conversation. So if we're going on a very nice, comfortable pace, just jog.
Yeah.
I love just bringing up random conversations. Sure. I run a lot with the ladies, so I'll just we'll talk. How's the day going? School, whatever. Random stuff. It just makes the time go quicker, distance go quicker, and that's kind of how I pass my time running. So, okay. No music.
Yep. Good. Steph?
Contrary to what you'd gather from my previous responses, I actually do raw dog every single run. I don't listen to any music. It's my time to gather myself and organize my thoughts, think about where I am, what I'm doing, what the future holds, and stuff like that. Yeah. Just a moment of reflection to myself.
Yeah. And running is a great outlet for that.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely.
Move your body, clear your thoughts.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Kyle, how about you?
Yeah, I fall into the music trap on my long runs.
It's not a trap. It's a good place to be.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, I get pretty bored. And so I'll turn on a podcast. You know, it's fantasy football season, so I got to study up.
Totally. Had my draft last week.
Yep. So I'll throw that on, or I'll put on some music usually on my long runs. Yeah. But anything less than like 7 miles and no music, yeah.
Okay, very cool. Sweet. Right. Next question. What is the best piece of running advice you've ever been given? And start with anybody.
I can go. Okay. Mine is just breathing. So that was always a key for me, just preventing side cramps, everything else. So, you know, it's the in, out with each step is, you know, whenever I'm starting to struggle, I always realize I'm not breathing right. And so that's always been a key for me and something I was taught in high school and just stuck with it. So that's kind of the one piece I have.
I need to run with you guys more often.
Ross always talks about his breathing.
The breathing actually always came naturally to me. I never had to really focus on it too much. Other things like form and stuff I've had to focus on. But I'd say my biggest piece of advice was just organizing my week, just like how I do workouts and mileage and everything, because I had no idea how to navigate that in high school until I think I was on spring break my senior year, and I was like, I ran every mile like it was my last, basically. Like I was trying to PR for every single run.
That's hard to do.
And Mark, I think Mark called me on Wednesday of spring break, and he said, what are you doing? Yeah. And I was like, I'm just running. Yeah. You know, I got all this extra time for spring break. He's like, no, but what are you doing? You're doubling every single day, and you're just running. Your pace is all over the place.
Yeah.
And so from that point forward, I had a structured thing. I didn't know Mark very well at that point. You know, he was just kind of like a looming coach above all my other coaches. So I was instantly like into a state of shock, like, oh shoot, I gotta organize my week and do this and this. But yeah, we got it straightened out after that.
I think the best advice I got was from my high school coach. I never thought I was gonna run in high school. I was more of a soccer player, and luckily, well, it wasn't luck. There were some events that happened in my life that made me go into running and track. And the best advice she gave me was just being confident and believing in myself. I think that was the biggest thing I took away. I wasn't one of the best athletes, top tier, anything like that, but she made me feel valued. And that's what I took away, was just being confident, whatever I did, running, outside of running. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me since then. So
now you do the same thing with your runners and instill that confidence.
Yeah.
That you can do this.
Yeah. I tell them, like, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. Like, it's not impossible. Whatever you see on TV or anybody running at a different school or whatever it may be, if you believe you can do it, you can do it. There's nobody telling you no. But yourself. So if they say they can do it, I'm going to push them to do it.
Hell yeah, Mark. Yep. Let's go.
Jen?
Basically, Coach Mark was like, he tells me, like, sometimes he'll be, like, kind of sassy over there, but he actually does really well with his pep talks. I will give him that. Like, I will be, like, super nervous, like, I don't know about this, and he'll just, like, talk me up and, like, make sure that I'm, like, I know what I've been doing. Like, I've been working really hard, and so I think that helps me a lot with my races and running.
Very good. All right. Now, on the flip side, say you have a friend who's just starting running. What's the first piece of advice you would give to somebody who's just starting to run?
I think the first bit of advice I'd give somebody is start slow. You know, like when I started, it was not slow. And I regret that. Yeah. So it would be start slow, you know, build that base, get to know your body before you dive into workouts and stuff. Just being one with your mind, body, and spirit into this sport is so helpful. So starting at a low number of miles and increasing, or starting at a slow pace and increasing, you know, just progress.
Sage advice from a young soul.
Yeah, I think it's just trusting the process, not rushing anything, not trying to be something out of the gate. It takes time. You can't rush anything. So if you start small, build up gradually, you're going to eventually get to whatever goal you may have. So it's just trusting and being patient. It's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Jen?
I would say, like, try to do something that, like, that'll make your run more enjoyable. Like, I ran with my sister this, like, recently, and I was just, like, being her DJ, and at the, like, she was annoyed during the race, but, like, after after she was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I could have done that without you, and I was like, it was super fun, because I was just talking to her, and she was just like, yeah, and then I was like,
couldn't breathe, but she was loving
I was just talking to her, telling her the most random thing. So I just think doing something, like, while you're running that you enjoy will make it so much easier.
Yeah,
Kyle? I think consistency is key. Just kind of reiterating what everybody's saying. You got to stick with it. Everybody's path's a little different. I had to teach myself that again when I started running again after like a 15-year hiatus.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be my old self right away. So, you got to take it slow. It's okay to walk. Just keep moving. That's kind of the biggest key. Back when we were in high school, it was, you know, even if you're breaking it down to a jiggle jog for a little bit, just keep those feet moving, and then, you know, it'll slowly come.
So. Running is a humbling, humbling sport.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw one more last one at him, Ross.
Got it.
Okay, and this is one that Ross brought up a couple weeks ago that I think is brilliant. So you just finished a race. You put it all out there. You finally get to relax. What are you eating?
Chocolate milk. right off the bat. Yeah, just the most chocolate milk I could drink at once.
Okay.
And then don't touch it, just let it sit for a second before I make any more decisions. Okay. That's what I do.
It's good for the bones.
Yep.
Oh yeah, and it tastes delicious. So
I thought you were gonna say Taco Bell.
I mean, I wish. I used to treat myself to Taco Bell after races, but then I was like, I wonder if it'll speed up recovery if I don't eat Taco Bell after every race. But everybody knows I love Taco Bell. It's all I talk about at practice some days. So
yes, please.
Anything greasy, honestly. Get those carbs in and that grease, and regret it a few hours later, but
it's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it. You just worked hard.
So give yourself a few hour break and then regret it later. So that's it for me.
Jen?
For me, Chipotle. I will always try to get Mark and Kyle to go to Chipotle after our races. Yeah. I love Chipotle. Probably gonna go after this. So
what is it? The burrito bowl?
It's the burrito bowl. Yeah. I will always get the burrito bowl.
She's always
so
there.
So good.
Yeah.
So what's your protein?
It usually goes between steak. If they have the brisket there, I'll get the brisket.
Oh, that brisket is good. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Throw another scoop on.
Yeah. I was like, don't be shy. Yeah. Put a little more. With the guac. Yeah. Oh, I always get the guac.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself. Yeah. Mark, how about you?
Mine's pretty simple. It's the same kind of as Steph. It's chocolate milk. I, after a long run or any kind of run, you, my wife will vouch for this. I go home and we go through 2 gallons of milk every
just
2 days.
Mark drinking 2 gallons of chocolate milk.
I just fill it up with chocolate milk. And now that I have my son, I'm hopefully he'll love chocolate milk. And we're going to be going through at least 2 gallons of once a day. But it's always chocolate milk. It just suits the body. Nice and cold. I put a little bit of ice in there and just relax. That's what hits the spot.
Yeah, I'm working on my 2nd gallon this week. But it's not just me. But my younger and my older brother run too. So like Mark, we go through chocolate milk like crazy.
Steph, we're your friends. You don't have to lie. It's okay. It's all you, man. It doesn't change anything.
One day I'll take a chocolate milk ice bath and I'll tell you guys how it went, the healing properties.
Good for your skin. It's good for your skin.
Hopefully.
It's exfoliating.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, well, hey, thank you guys so much for coming. Man, what a conversation.
Yeah, this
so
is fun.
So cool.
Yeah.
So cool. Just excited for your success and moving forward, what you're doing for the program and being a part of something special and growing something special. You know, I think back like a year and a half ago on my running journey, crossing through Lower Park and seeing you and then getting to know you now, it's amazing. And Kyle going way back, doing some team building programs back in the day, Golden Valley Bank through Odyssey where I work, and just getting to see you guys and what you're about and run with you. And best of luck with everything moving forward. So fun to experience a workout with you. And
yeah,
I'm just in full-on reflection mode right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you got, Pete?
Everything that Ross said, ditto. Really appreciate you guys giving us a little time on a Wednesday evening. We will be following both of you guys racing along with the rest of your team. And hopefully we'll be out again to run with you guys and you can embarrass us some more. maybe we'll bring the chocolate milk next time.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. But yeah, keep up the good work. You guys are really inspiring. And I think, you know, you guys are doing such a cool thing for Butte County, Glenn County, Tehama County, right? You're pulling in the talent and giving them a way to showcase what they're doing. So Mark and Kyle, keep up the good work. This is so cool. Butte College, Roadrunners, look out. We'll see you guys running cross country. Will you guys both be running track in the spring?
Oh yeah. As far as I know, I'll be, obviously you can never be too sure about anything, but yeah, as far as I know, I'll be running track.
Awesome. Jen, you too?
Yeah, same. You'll catch me out there.
Awesome. Very
after
cool.
Chipotle.
Real quick. After Chipotle. If the Butte cross country team had a motto this season, what would it be? Real quick.
I think the overall motto this season is trust. Trust your teammates. Trust yourself. Trust the process. Trust coaches. And most importantly, trust God. Mm-hmm. Just trust all around is what we're going by.
Beautiful.
Love that. Jen, describe the team in one word.
Amazing.
Let's go. Coaches, how can people follow along with what Butte's up to this year?
Yeah, we're posting a lot of stuff, material on Instagram. I'm trying to keep up with the Facebook, our website, ButteRoadrunners.com. We've tried to do some articles on there. We try to keep it as updated as much as possible, but the best way is Instagram. We try to put as much out there so everybody kind of gets the inside of the program, mm-hmm. not just the results.
Yeah, that's really cool to see. It's like see you guys at workouts and at your meets. But yeah, all the behind the scenes stuff, like that's so cool to see because like we don't get to see that. Right. The general public doesn't get to see that. And like it's like reality TV, but it's actually real. So yeah, that's super fun to see. I appreciate you guys
doing
all
that. There's some fire stuff on the IG too. Whoever's been working on it. I see you working on it.
Yeah, we try to keep up with the nowadays, you know, what's what's out there. So we try to make sure everybody's up to date on like what's current. So we're trying.
Luckily, Mark's getting some help from some of our younger athletes now, because he was struggling there for a little bit, working late nights trying to get those Instagram posts up. So it's been good. So Instagram is a great spot to find us. Our schedule's up on the website, so check that out. Meet results will be posted online, so check those out. And we're looking forward to a fun season.
And you said August 10th is a race that you guys are hosting?
August 10th is
October.
October.
October 10th is our college one, and then October 4th is our high school, middle school club one.
Cool. So all the local folks, get out there, watch these Roadrunners.
Yeah, I think that's a huge takeaway I have, is that anybody in the local community that's paying attention, something special is happening right here. And it's amazing. We saw firsthand just how impressive this group is, and there's opportunities to get out and support them October 4th and October 10th, and there's also opportunities to follow along and support them, because hey, you never know, this could be the greatest running season in Roadrunner history.
Could be.
I mean, they're on their way. It's pretty special, and what you guys are building and what you're all doing, it's awesome. So keep it up. Go Butte this year. Let's go. And forever.
That's right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Peace out. Let's go.
Time to go to bed.